What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Soldier Field. Hearts beating furiously. It's Draft! Love looking. One last guest. Moving guys around. Fires to the end zone, and it is broken up. The Bears win it, and a crazy one.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Look, if you're betting on the NBA this season, something that'll take the pressure off your picks, the NBA No Sweat Token. You don't need to sweat if your bet doesn't hit. You'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $1,000. Download the BetMGM app today, and please gamble responsibly. Al Michaels with the call Saturday night on Amazon Prime. Just a couple notes on that call for a moment. Al brought his fastball on Saturday night. That was one of the best games Al Michaels has called in years. He was sensational. And you can hear how loud the crowd was at Soldier Field during that final play. And it's almost drowning Al Michaels out. What a viewing experience it was. And what an experience we had in the last few minutes in the break where we couldn't get Danny's audio right, his microphone wasn't right. And at the end, with like 10 seconds to spare, Danny, like his quarterback, Caleb Williams, coming through in the clutch. Are you the new Iceman? Danny Parkins joins us on the show First Things First on Fox Sports 1. Welcome to the show, my friend. Congratulations on your Bears.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a gamer. I'm a fourth quarter player. I'm clutch. I'm always going to deliver when it matters most. That was a spectacular sporting event to be at live. Like, it was just like the stars lined. Like, it's on a Saturday. I can fly in Saturday morning, fly back Sunday morning, not miss any of the other games, go to Bears Packers, first row behind the Bears bench, like literally in line with where Caleb Williams sits on the bench. I was like over his shoulder with my nephew, then was able to get some extra tickets and bring some lifelong friends. It was a truly special thing. I'm not a very religious person, but I said that was like a sports religious experience. It was great.
I've said for a long time, have I? Sports could cure atheism. I'm not so sure that's true. So aside from just like from that, right, the Bears winning at the end, it's an all-time sporting event to be at, not just for you. If you're a lifelong Bears fan, period, to be at that game with everything that went into it, exercising some of the demons in green and gold with the Green Bay Packers. Kind of take us through it, right? From the first half to the second half, it looked like they were dead, and then they weren't, and then they win. Take us through the fan experience during the totality of the game.
Man, listen, the tailgate is rocking, right? And everyone's doing like Green Bay sucks chants because the Green Bay sucks chance will break out at Blackhawks games or at Cubs games. Like, that's just like, that's like our love language in Chicago. And then we go in and we want to get into the game because getting into Soldier Field's a train wreck and we have awesome seats. So we want to get in early, and we're in early and it becomes a snow globe. Like, it's just like the flurries and the snow and all the stuff that you saw on social media that they showed on the broadcast. It was like, oh my God, this is
going to be. And by the way, it was you, by the way. I feel like it was your tweets. I'm not just saying this because you're on the show right now. Like, it was your tweets that kind of went viral on Saturday night, right? With it being a snow globe prior to the game starting.
Yeah, well, because the broadcast wasn't on. No one was, you know, people were still locked into Rams-Panthers. Like, we were watching that on our phone from the stands, but we wanted to be in for warm-ups, again, because of the quality of our seats. So, yeah, like, I think I probably was, like, the first person to let people know, like, oh, my God, this looks like we could have a snow game. Then the Bears and Packers get into, like, a beef at midfield, and I'm right there, and I footage that and put it out, again, because people weren't watching yet. And so it was like, okay, this is, like, a heavyweight fight. Right, like, this is just like you have the scene, the drop back, the stakes, the animosity, the whole thing, and then Jordan Love just comes out and curb stomps the Bears in the first half, and I think the lowest I got in any of those videos was like, this is a disaster because there was so much built into it. But I will say, when McManus missed the field goal at the end of the second quarter and the Bears are down 21-3, I'm not going to say like I called the comeback, but we were talking about like, all right, Packers get the ball to start the third quarter. Get a stop, and then let's see if Caleb can do his magic. Because there had been 6 fourth quarter comebacks already. Like, and Costos, I know this is weird, but like, just not thinking the game was over when the Bears were down 21-3 was such a win. Like, just having like, oh, we have a coach and a quarterback who conceptually could do this. I was at the Andrew Luck comeback against the Chiefs when it was the 28-point comeback, which at the time was the largest playoff.
48-45 on Wild Card Weekend, yep, following the 13 season.
Right, when Jamal Charles gets the concussion, Andrew Luck fumbles, recovers it, takes it into the end zone. Like, I was at, so like, I'm like, I've been at a game with a bigger comeback, the biggest playoff comeback, the whole thing. So we're talking about it. Then things just kind of, it wasn't even like a perfect storm. The Bears weren't perfect in the second half, certainly not in the third quarter, but it just started happening. And the defense got better, and Jacobs couldn't run anymore. And then when you give up the touchdown and you're down 27-16 and they miss the extra point, even in that spot, you're like, okay, not two touchdown game. Touchdown, 2-point conversion, stop, field goal. And Caleb's throw, I'm at the 48-yard line. He makes that throw from like the 32.
The Odunze throw on 4th and 8.
Yeah, but he's rolling.
Like a top 10 throw of all time, I think, in that spot.
Correct. But he's rolling towards the Bears bench. So he's rolling towards me, but I'm like, I have to look to my right to see Caleb because it's in the middle of where my viewing area. So I'm looking to the right to see Caleb. And when he makes the throw, my periphery, I was like, no one's there. And then you turn to your left and you're like, oh, it's got the distance. Odunze is there. And he catches it and we go ballistic. But I was like almost surprised. Like, I felt like it was going to be the type of thing that I was going to have to make the argument for the degree of difficulty of the throw. But like in the moment, you know, they're down 11 and it's not a touchdown. So I'm like, well, if they lose, that throw is going to be lost to history. But then obviously everything that happens. Zacchaeus, the 2-point conversion, getting the ball back, the unbelievable throw to DJ Moore on the great play call from Ben Johnson. And we're walking out of the stadium chanting Green Bay sucks again, talking about the throw to Odunze. Like, I wonder if people are going to remember the throw to Odunze, like, because we haven't seen the highlights. We've got no cell service. And then by the time we get back to the spot, people are saying it's the greatest throw in the history of football. I'm like, oh, my God, the Bears quarterback has the best throw in the history of football. They just had this comeback. Like, it was so incredible at exercising of demons. And then you find out that, like, we're chanting Green Bay sucks, but Ben Johnson said F the Packers.
Yeah.
Like, he took, like, an East Coast Yankees Red Sox level of, like, cursing and injected into our Midwest nice rivalry, something I've been waiting for my entire life. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Like, by far the best, like, Bears game I've ever been to, the most enjoyable Bears win of my life. Top 5 sporting event that I've ever attended. Like, it was unbelievable. It really was.
I wasn't going to go here with the Ben Johnson stuff until you mentioned it. And I was actually surprised by how many people were, like, offended by, and I'm not even talking like Dick Vitale. It's like, whatever.
People are idiots.
Is this like, and what I'd like for you to explain to the national audience, right? Because maybe it's because I'm from New York and I'm like, I think this is awesome. Like, oh, I love it. Is this just like Midwestern, like people from the Midwest are just kinder and like we shouldn't do that? Like, where does the blowback, the pushback come from here? I thought it was awesome.
Well, listen, I think most Chicagoans did like it. But yeah, I think there is some Midwest nice to it. You know, I always say, like, Chicago is we're the third biggest city. But in like the meanness or the competitiveness of sports fans, there's New York, Philly, and Boston. And then Chicago's like the team captain of everybody else. Like, we've got like a tough media, but we are slower to boo than New York, Philly, and Boston. Like, we are, like, again, Green Bay sucks, not F the Packers. You know, like, we.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's like a really good way of describing the difference. So I think there's some of that. But one of like my like bedrock principles in doing what we do is less hate in the world, more hate in sports. Trash talk is good, but it's good. Hating your opponent, having rivalries, being cold, bulletin board material, pregame jawing, the occasional penalty, postgame press conferences, like that generates interest and drama. Like, it's okay. it's okay. This is professional sports. And people are like, whoa, well, think of the children. If you're going to emulate, you know, they're going to do the bat flips in Little League. Well, then parents better. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is professional sports. And so it is incredible that the Bears don't like the Packers now and their coach is willing to say it. But also the last thing on this rivalry specifically, like, is Ben Johnson, when he defended it on Monday, he was like, I talked to George McCaskey, the owner of the Bears, and he's like, we're on the same page. People do need to understand, like, the Packers have no owners. The fans own the team. And the Bears are owned by fans. Virginia McCaskey, who just passed away, was George Halas's daughter. Like, you know, like, these are not, this is not a tech billionaire. This is not a finance bro. These are just people. They're just Bears fans who are descendants of George Halas, who hate their rival, who are owned by fans. So it's a very unique rivalry in that way. And it's good if they don't like each other, because they've also never been good at the same time. And I know you wanted to talk about other things, and I'm going off on a tangent here.
No, it's great.
Better or worse is for other people to describe. Like, Ravens Steelers has been a more competitive rivalry. Yankees Red Sox is more famous. But Bears Packers is the oldest rivalry in football, and the teams historically are never good at the same time. So that was the 213th time they had ever played each other, only the third time in the playoffs, the 2010 NFC Championship game, and when George Halas played Curly Lambeau in 1941, and then this game on Saturday. So, like, it was special, and I love that there's some real animosity there.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And I would just say, if anyone disagrees with that, just think about it like this. Let's just say, you know, I'm making this up, right? Bears-Packers is the week one Sunday Night Football game next season, and Matt LaFleur is back in Green Bay, even if he's not. How much more juice there is in the proceedings now to a rivalry that's already historic? How much more fun it's going to be moving forward now with Ben Johnson having poked the Bear? I love it.
No doubt.
You better you bet on this Wednesday. Danny Parkin's our guest. First things first on Fox Sports 1. Catch him today, national TV, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. There's so much to do. I guess we should probably talk about Bears-Rams coming up on Sunday, where it's going to be freezing, and the Bears are home underdogs. What do you think, Danny, we will see in the Bears and the Rams?
Listen, I mean, Matt Stafford could throw for 6,000 yards in this game. Like, that maybe is a little high, but, like, legitimately, I think the playoff record is in play. The Bears' secondary is not good. Jalen Johnson is playing, but clearly is not 100%. Kyler Gordon, as mentioned on the broadcast a million times, finally came back and played and was trailing all game. Like, the Bears don't really generate a pass rush. Did better in the second half, but the Bears are going to need to win a shootout. The hope is that Caleb and Ben Johnson are equipped to win a shootout. I think they are. The Rams defense has been bad since week 11, basically allowing about 28 a game. And you mentioned the Colts. Like, I was at the game in 2018 when the Rams came to Soldier Field and it was freezing and the Bears
famous
won.
Vic Fangio, like, broke the Sean McVay offense for the first time and gave Bill Belichick the blueprint to do it in the Super Bowl.
Exactly right. And the Bears won 15-6, and the cold there was a factor. So, like, older quarterback, not mobile, sub-zero temperatures. Like, the Bears offensive line, I know for a fact, is not pleased with how they played in the run game against the Packers. They expected to have much more success on the ground against Green Bay than they did. I expect Ben Johnson to try to do that again against the Rams. Yes, to keep Matt Stafford on the sideline, but to just make everybody a little uncomfortable and miserable with how cold it is. And maybe a little bit of gamesmanship again. Maybe those heaters on the sideline for the Rams go out again. You know, maybe have those malfunction again.
We only have like 90 seconds left here. I really wanted to tweak you a little bit on Justin Herbert, who's just like, he's really bad. He's terrible. But I actually, I love the emotion of sports, right? And being sports fans. And I would say to everyone listening or watching the show right now, even if you're not a Bears fan, like, I get goosebumps in moments like this, and I'm not a Bears fan. So when Kenny plays coming back from break, the final play, and Jordan Love scrambling around, and when that ball's in the air, the knowledge that this is going one of two ways, And there is going to be finality here. Like, it is going to end one way or another in short order. I think this, I have like the chills right now, just as a sports fan, even if I'm not a Bear. And I bet the Packers in the game, and I lost my bet on the game, right? You take us through and about
them.
I did. I abandoned the Bears and I abandoned the Packers because screw them and fire Matt LaFleur. I actually don't think they should. Take me through 30 to 45 seconds. We're running out of time. The emotions that you felt as Jordan Love is scrambling and that ball's in the air on the final play.
I mean, it was an eternity. It was like the play lasted like 6.5 seconds and it felt like 6.5 hours. Listen, I mean, I have my nephew to my left. My dad's family is from Wisconsin, so he's a Packer fan. And then I'm with all Bears fans, and one of my lifelong friends is to my right. And I'm just like, I grabbed both of their forearms. It was like you were bracing yourself if you were a nervous flyer on an airplane during turbulence, and they were my armrests. Like, I'm just like squeezing their, and then like the ball drops, there's no flag. I turn to my nephew and just give him like a little playful shove. He's the one who has to film me for the content because, you know, you got to film it. And then I start punching all my friends and just celebrating. It was beautiful. It was incredible.
First things first, Fox Sports 1 coming up today, weekdays 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern at Danny Parkins on Twitter. Appreciate you, my friend. Bear down.
Bear down, baby.
I like the Rams on Sunday. Hour one done. Oh. Hour two for you. Sorry, buddy. On the other side, Drew Dinsick, the Whale Capper, kicks it off next.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.